couple of members maybe just indicate this is our last meeting for this term, and maybe just report that next term, members will remember that we tabled the program for next term, focus mainly on the previous set of parts. The first week that we are supposed to do the visit to the Free State, there is a bit of a clash because the Secretariat of the Police Committee is hearing is also coming up with the ADHOC Committee, and there's also members from our committee on the ADHOC Committee, so that week will maybe fall away. But what we will do, we will apply for permission to do the oversight of the visit in the second week. That we originally planned. So that is more or less what we plan to do. And of course, then the legislative part will continue. So that's just for members in terms of progress. In terms of today's program, two of the items is really a follow up. Members will remember that we had various interactions with SAPS regarding the IGCTS infrastructure program. And we also indicated the role of Public Works. Public Works will today then do a presentation on that. But we also said, let's get the indication of the picture of leases, because that is also an ongoing challenge. So welcome to the delegation of Public Works. They will also introduce themselves. Also to the Commission Commission dealing with infrastructure, welcome in as well. We also think we'll give them an opportunity to introduce themselves as we move along. Then the other issue is also a follow-up. In terms of the vetting, members will remember that we have previous interactions with IPED as well as the civilian secretariat on the issue of vetting. We also had a briefing from the State Security Agency. We felt that in terms of progress, we need to follow up and have both the two departments of security with us to deal with issues. There was, I think, two presentations made available to members, IPED and the civilian secretariat. And you know, I don't know whether you see anything with the other information. So it's basically. Oh, you know, right. So, yeah, so we will get that as well. Then we also had on the agenda the issue of the proclamations from SAPS that we invited them. Since there is a problem, and I just wanted the confirmation about the payment, because for us to deal with it, the proclamations must be tabled now, so as the process. I know you have to say, and they want to keep their presentation. I can just get an indication from maybe from Saxon, you know, ask the funding advisor just give us a statement of that, and then we'll make a decision. Yes, Saxon, you're welcome.
Thank you, Jay. We also confirmed this morning that the taping is not being finalized yet. I just wondered, in terms of the Act, look at section 26, and I don't want to discuss it, but we will decide. It says it must be tabled and considered and decision, for consideration and decision, and Parliament may therefore take subsequent actions and make certain necessary. I just want to say, in terms of cost and things, that if we could make the presentation and the committee do not consider it that, but at a later stage, we can answer any questions, anything, because I don't want to say it's just a something that we have to go through. In some instances, these proclamations could be very important if a South African is listed. But in this case, no South African is listed. And I just wondered that if we could do the presentation and answer all foreign follow-up questions and any consideration would just be done in the later stage. Just a proposal change up to the committee to decide this.
The business procedure has to be as the general committee. It has to be table contents as we consider in the first committee in the first committee. But the fourth must be a problem for us to keep the presentation, but discuss the vote is another matter. Then I have to schedule a proper deliberation on the thing. So I'm going to start our time in effect interacting with the general.
Thank you for that input. I think let us just continue with the other presentations because I also want the Ministry to give us an indication of the funding crisis that the Secretary is dealing with. So if we can just make a status on that. So let's continue with others. We will then consider, let's continue with the other items and we'll then make the determination. You can just stay with us for the moment. Right, but let us that head and baby and go to the king.
And I'm
thank you, Honorable Eunice. We start with public works and discussions.
My name is Boris Kambinda, key account manager for public works department.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and members. My name is Marta Nabuza, TGG responsible for key accounts
management. Good morning, Chairperson. My name is Larry Gallagher, DDG property and facilities manager.
Good morning, Chair, Commissioner and Honorable Members. My name is Robert Mudosi from Public Works. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson and Members. My name is Abuja Matulke. I'm the DDG responsible for regional coordination.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair, Honorable Members and colleagues. On the Attorney General of Canada, the Minister of Coordination and Justice. Thank you very much. Over to Public Works.
Chairperson. Members of the Procurement Committee. Our presentation will be made by Peter, myself, Mr. Gunter, who will deal with the issues, then Mr. Abuza will come in on the infrastructure, then Mr. Morris from India on the HCS. In relation to the work that we do, the purpose of our presentation is to provide insight to this committee on the risk portfolio that we manage as publishers for the South African Police Service. In terms of which, I will be dealing with the backlog of issues which expired before the 31st of March 2014, the renewal of those issues, any outstanding matters, and the issues for the delays in the outstanding issues. Then to deal with the second national citizen disposition on issues and to deal with and give you an indication of what issues are covered and not covered in terms of that and some action plans. That dispensation has just been cut and granted for the last few weeks. And then we will get into the infrastructure of it. As part of the turnaround of public works, we had a serious backlog of the renewal of issues. We then approached National Treasury to grant us a dispensation to be able to extend these issues without an open procurement process. Treasury considered this and granted a dispensation to us, which I will deal with later. But as part of the dealing with this, we have created a joint task team between ourselves and public works and officials from the South African Conservancy. We are looking at all expiring issues and those issues that were not month to month, but covered by the service dispensation. We also dealt with related facility management issues as part of the renewal process. We look at reasons that would have required cancellation, and we look at matters of rentals and other issues that related to those issues. So, as part of our work in this regard, working closely with CAT was material and key to addressing their issues. Consequently, the acting head of the PMPN was nominated to give directly with steps on the area of issuing and facilities management. In the presentations that will follow, we'll also talk with the joint team to address issues related to and those who are applicants. In the next slide, okay, as part of it, we dealt with lockups, power, water cut by municipalities, which are the sprinklers, issues of occupational health and safety matters, especially where the Department of Labor was committed and the account of the conciliation. So those are the driving sites we have been doing.
Next slide, please. Now, I'm going to explain.
Joint task at national level or also at regional level?
Well, we work at a national level, and as we work in each of the provinces, discuss officials from the province, as well as sometimes officials from such headquarters, which we have come here and be part of those meetings. In respect of the safety dispensation, the application was made for some time, but on the 5th of September 2013, the Office of the Chief Procurement Officer, the National Treasury, issued out a dispensation for the renewal of the issue for the following conditions. That the negotiated rental increases in terms of the escalation rate should not exceed the headline inflation rate of 5.5%. So the, although inflation rate is used there, and says it appears to have been writing this. That the department report is approved on total on a quarterly basis to Treasury as part of the general strategy. That this approval is only for the renewal of expired leases indicated on our application, providing them with the schedule of all leases that are expired, and not for the procurement of new leases for any other purpose. That the duration of the renewal issues should not exceed the period of 3 years. And then the exemption sections 1-2G of the Act, as well as the regulations in relation to the preferential procurement framework. And more importantly, it is not in their system. Next slide. Of the 1,576 expired leases that were covered as part of the first dispensation, 739 were the facts of folders. In working with the team, we disaggregated the facts of folders into police stations, high fives, forensic laboratories, etc. And that's guide our connections on how we make decisions on which we will take up in 3 years. 700 of those that are successfully renewed, 411 reasons that create all expired substitutions. That's the province of Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, and the southern part of the Eastern Cape. Amongst the reasons for the non-finalization of the SAS backlog leases, we have two grand landlords who were not willing to comply with the escalation rate of 5.3 and 5.5. We had not complying for landlords in respect of their obligations to maintain the land. And so we were not just going to renew leases without landlords bringing up to their expectations and obligations. There were space discrepancies, and this is quite significant in respect of the South African Police Services in terms of the space used by the actual space leases. The actual space leases in most instances were less than what was used, but those are private arrangements that we have to ensure do not interfere with the actual space that was tended for. But we have ownership disputes, the time especially the chain of ownership. Then the issue of selling cost calculations, which is important, even in the renewal process, whilst we were bringing down escalation rates, etc., sometimes warrants just to confirm the new rates per square meter, they would mean an increase and confirm the funds for the increase in that system. One of the difficulties we had, still have, is many municipalities
confirm the renewal of issues. Some municipalities insist on a full council meeting, some provinces insist that it must go all the way to the office of the king. And so in the case of those municipalities and provinces, those issues need to care for renewal, but have not yet been managed. Land is called to be the process is ongoing. And then we also have this issue of deceased estates. So trying to track who the lawful party to conclude the agreement. Now these issues apply to almost all the partners in terms of these issues we have to deal with. Currently, there are 23 outstanding in relation to that. In the previous slide, we've given you an indication of 39, but there's been an improvement in terms of that. Of the 23, we initiate by province, next slide please. Right. The town, the address, the expiry date. We give 2 months. There's 1 week given CPW, outstanding needs, and then we've included comments on tax in relation to those issues. So there are 23. For example, number one is the West Education Cape Town. Okay. And the email, the expiry date was 31st of February 2015. There's an outstanding income confirmation on the side of DPW. In terms of tax, the lease assessment was compiled on the 19th of June and forwarded to the provincial office for certification, and that's an internal tax process. Like that, you can take Western Cape again, units, a portion of roads, and there again, this is the High Site, which is a communication power facility. And the needs assessment and the US was forwarded to DPW. On the 21st of May, the procurement instruction was issued by ourselves on the 28th of May, and it will now await an analysis and a procurement process that will determine the actual cost. So if you go through, in number 3 is Northwest. Manapan Strike, the
initial sorry, I think the document was circulated to members. You can just highlight any high level study. Members had the document, so you can just provide the world. Thank you.
Then, I think in terms of the next, we have given a fair detail for the remaining three. But what I can assure the members of the House is by working together with us, these issues will be addressed. The second part of the country is like 12. Now what we realize is that the significant problem that exists for SAPS in particular and for other government departments is that we need to have a new dispensation on how we procure accommodation for the needs of staff in particular. Because that's the rationale of why we have the second discrimination. We started a process of national treasury, which was announced by the Minister of Finance in the February budget speech of February 2014, in terms of which the Office of the Chief Procurement Officer started a process with DPW as one of the pilot departments to have a supply chain management framework appropriate for the property business. Now that work has reached an advanced stage. And in terms of which, it will mean that we do not have to procure property through an open tender process. For example, when we want to procure a police station, there is no police station available to approve that. it is preparing a premises that comes close or could be adapted for significant capital cost injection, high tax in particular, to make it a police station. Because that would be faster than practicability police station at one goal. Now, we then asked for effective dispensation so that we would be able to finalize this new procurement and dispensation. So we just got this approved now on the 13th of March. Although the approval on the 13th of March was received by us quite late. This allows us, also in terms of the risk provider, to negotiate the extension, provided that the excavation does not exceed headline inflation. If, strictly say, headline inflation exceeds 6%, then the excavation rate is capped. In the previous one, it was a 5.5. Secondly, we report on a quarterly basis as part of our general strategy. Then the approval is applicable to 1,608 expired issues as the list we have provided, and not for the procurement of any new list or any other purpose. The duration also may not exceed the period of 3 years, and the previous extension. In terms of this, we have started a process and we will be meeting the steps in the next week or two to start on the new process here. But we've done an analysis. So on slide 13, just looking at steps. In terms of all our regions, we have a total portfolio of 1,191 accommodations that we have leased for steps. In terms of issues up to date, it is 1,144 as at 1st March 2014. You may then ask, how come you have a significant number in the next few columns? Well, issues have to expire. Even if they were reviewed and valid as of 31st March 2014, there are other issues that come up for renewal. So, covered in the dispensation is 749 in terms of the national system dispensation of 1,203. Not covered is 442. In the sense of the 442 not covered, it was quite evident that our property management information system data was not read or updated or inactive. So we're currently doing an audit and a cleanup of our property management information system, and we are migrating to the release module of the Actimas system. So we have a new enterprise system for the management of property. So all the information extracts from PMI is now in place and restructured into the Actimas system. The monthly extension of issues that we call them to month, they exist because we have to utilize the system to accept payment. As long as we occupy, we are obliged by common law or contracts to accept the payment. Whether they be a signed agreement or not, the date of the position is much more important. The current system ends beyond 2017-18. Active beyond those periods may not be covered by the disposition as some would be covered. Now, what is our action plan to deal with the 442 that are excluded from the 17 disposition? The current law for completion of an open tender process will take us 6 to 12 months. Due to the GMS current supply chain procurement processes, which are not suitable for the procurement of property. Now, I indicated earlier, we are yet to finalize the procurement. All the work has been done. It's a matter of formality between ourselves, the W, and the Office of the Chief Procurement Officer, to finalize that funding off so that the necessary amendments and adjustments to the Treasury regulations and treaties can be made so that we have a new procurement process. In the meantime, we face the difficulty of using the current generic process. For all issues required before the end of December 2015, we will deem it as urgent. We are in the process of having a discussion, in fact, we're having a discussion with our Director General for him to improve within the law a special procurement process that will allow enable us to deal with these issues not covered by the Deputy Minister of Education. Now, ordinarily, in the contract, clauses that exist for us to extend an agreement by mutual, a lease agreement by mutual, and those provisions will be used contractually. For leases expiring on or after the beginning of January 2016, working together with SACS, we'll have to look at how best an open tender process where applicable can be applied. But we know upfront, in working with SACS, we can't go out on open tender process to move a police station from one of these premises to the next. We can't move a forensic laboratory to an open tender process from one premises to the next. So we may have jointly approached Treasury to allow our administration to extend those. So the capital cost of just going out on a new lease process would be more expensive than the name. So that's a challenge we have to differentiate between trusts and ourselves with national strategy as a matter of urgency. How would we better manage our resource portfolio? Well, as part of the process of the turnaround of public works, we developed a 7-year turnaround plan as well as the operationalization of the property management agency, both of which represent two cabinets. The turnaround plan was endorsed and approved by cabinet, and the operationalization of the PMTE and the establishment of the PMTE as a government component was approved by cabinet in September of last year. In terms of the property management training, we've created a division of real estate and facilities management, and we are significantly revising the business processes in line with the discussions we're having with National Treasury on a specialized procurement framework. We also are going to revise much of our property and facilities management functions, as well as the opportunities for black economic empowerment to expedite the manner in which we deal with our real estate issues and out and the facilities management. We have developed an internal circular for the application of second Treasury dispensation that was finalized and signed up by our Director General last week, and we will now begin a process of reviewing issues that have expired and will expire. In the second Treasury dispensation, we're also dealing with issues that will expire at the end of this financial year and the next financial year. So we are oriented to that extent. In terms of our supply chain processes, we will have to press the Office of the Chief Procurement Officer to bring some finality so that it enables us to have an appropriate procurement framework. In terms of our information communication technology and business systems re-engineering, we have procured the Akibas property management business tool. We have already secured the lease management module. what would be problems of quality in the character review on the rest of the modules to the tenders that they have been through. So that would enable us to better manage our VMS, our issues in our house.
So 3 minutes.
In terms of my last slide, yes, government is a program conducted by the Presidency, National Treasury and our accounts, proceeding with government-wide vision expenditure review that will help inform every moment this area of work. We now have a standardized EPWDC agreement in which we place significant responsibilities on landlords, and we have contained tenant installation expenditure as well. We've also established a 4 towns unit with a primary focus on building our own housing systems in small towns and rural areas. Currently, we're working in Melbourne, Ijumwa, Maltesha, Coxie Grand, and Kofibaba to initiate that project. The benefits of which will be the provision of accommodation for trucks, homeless, labor, and transport, at least will be accommodated. And my colleagues are going to be the first.
Thank you,
Mr. Chief. Thanks, Chair. Just to begin with infrastructure. We execute about 191 projects on behalf of SARS. And the project success to our facilities specifically used by SARS for the purpose of delivering their mandate. We also secure the planning tenants on existing facilities. The budget structure for the current financial year is that SARS capital projects amounts to 687 million and the maintenance project amounts to 421 million. Slide number 3 will give the schedule of all the regions of the department and the allocation that they have executing all these 191 projects. I won't go through the details of that. The type of work that we do in terms of capital projects is kind of police stations, shooting ranges, stock units, training facilities, and other ways. That's why we need an allocation per class of work. For example, 573 million for the police stations. And in terms of expenditure range, where we are. The projects that are on the implementation stage, which is slide number 5, we use what we call the classification of projects per status. We've got 9 status in this passage. For example, status 3A involves projects that are still going through the town planning processes to seek to legally approved land use for police stations. Slide 3B deals with checks approved for execution being on the process of the allocators to project managers and so forth and so forth. That slide, Honorable Chair, will give you the total number of projects allocated per status or stage and the allocation per project. Slide number 6 deals with key projects that are holding allocations above 3 million around for 2015-2016. It will be those cities, the towns. So the first column deals with the town. Then the second column deals with the functionality of the asset, the registered project number, and allocation per that project. Again, slide number 6 that deals with projects holding major allocations above 3 million are older, which means the total number of projects which are holding allocation above 3 million rent is 21 projects with an allocation of 357 million. Slide 7 deals with projects that are holding spending which is above 3 million for 2015-2016. Again, it is the classification of town, the functionality, the number, and so forth and so forth. To conclude the infrastructure chair, we have established a joint team with SARS. This team is led by myself, joined with the General Manager, who is part of us today. He has established experience that deals with issues such as infrastructure project execution plan, maintenance, and so forth and so forth. The objective of the fund is really to improve the infrastructure planning, financing of infrastructure, and so forth and so forth. And in the long run, both of us are looking at running out the police station branding program, in line with the standard operation procedure of front desk or message of the charge office. We are both getting involved in procuring system size for police stations in new townships, rural areas, where success no preference. We also reviewed a plain maintenance project for slide number 9, which I have already alluded to. The details of this execution plan is contained in slide number 9. Slide number 10 will give you the name of an office of our level regional offices, the allocation regional office, the structure to date, and so forth and so forth. Again, slide number 11 deals with the maintenance program, perishing, the allocation and expenditure to date. To conclude on infrastructure, the place to start. The plain maintenance program, as of the method currently, does not cover the entire shops portfolio because of limited financial resources. The practice of maintenance level is influenced by complaints received as per the occupational health expectations of OSHA. The department therefore has the proper certificates of condition after conditional survey to determine those through that, with any needs for maintenance. And at the same time, when those are management strategies and program are fully implemented, we're hoping that responsible maintenance funding will be secured to cover more than the current one. Chair, if you compare our request instead, my question today will conclude on the criminal justice.
Thank you very much for the presentation.
Thank you, Sebastian. I'll be doing presentation of criminal justice modernization project. I would like to first thank the portfolio members, including yourself, Sebastian, for having invited us 2 weeks back to the portfolio committee, where actually we had an opportunity to see the various stakeholders within the criminal justice system presenting. And then that also actually gave us an opportunity to see our role for the first time within this committee. Within that criminal justice system. Not that we were not aware of certain roles that we were supposed to play in life and class, in that regard. Therefore, we really appreciate that, but we could actually contextualize the role of participants within the criminal justice system modernization program. And therefore, that assistance that has a lot. Basically, my presentation on the, it will cover the content that which is reflected on the screen. The focus will be more on the projects that which we have identified ourselves and staff as key in terms of this criminal justice system and modernization projects. Those are the ones that I will actually focus on over and above what the department executes. Project for the last portfolio. The first one that I want to look at is the installation of RIFAs at Target Group and Athenia for the science laboratories, which when it was requested by SARS, we granted the approval for them to proceed with the project. And then that approval was granted on the 4th of March 2014. And then it was granted subsequently. After having the project itself subjected to some assessments by engineers from within the departments. Based on that outcome of that assessment, then we can get further programs to proceed with the project. The second one, which we identified as critical also to the modernization project program, was the installation of prospectors. At various forensic laboratories, local criminal record centers. There were about 18 of those that we were identified. And then, about 7 of them were within state-owned facilities. Therefore, we got to also for those ones that start to make sure to proceed to help the work in terms of including those facilities. only those facilities which are paid for. As far as the rest of the facilities before they are provinces, the department of its own current location, the landlords. And there are actually in the presentation indications which specific facilities are those that which are this. The third project that which also like it is very key, it was the revenue of the case reduction area. Such requests as to have this project done. Currently, we are already engaged in the running launch. Because also part of those ones that would actually require us and other departments to engage the one who owns so that existing disabilities may be reduced accordingly. In taking into consideration whatever work matters to be effective. Particular package. And then in this stage of finalization of the agenda with the landlords, we are actually looking at the end of August this year so that we can now allow the process of the process on the region to proceed. With regard to the housing service and foreign science laboratories, the Kenya students. This is also the project which was requested by our client staff and is currently within the department in terms of the scope and cost relevant to the project itself. And then we have also looked at the action plan that the scope the overall scope of the project will actually be completed by the end of July. And then thereafter we will actually be able to give the project execution plan in terms of all subsequent project activities that will be undertaken on that specific project. And there is also another project in Pretoria. It's a building, linking building. That is also one of the projects that which we identified as also important in terms of PJS modernization project. Basically, this one, before this is in a state owned building, and then the request for grant was that as the request was granted, but to the existing one. And then, since we had to decline that request because it involved quite a lot of mechanical and electrical related activities, which might actually be kind of a challenge for a planning department who has to deal with that kind of a question. Therefore, the scope on this one, we aim to have that done by the 15th of July, and then subsequently we will have the project execution plan for all subsequent activities by the end of July 2015, and then GPSA will actually monitor the execution of the project. This last project on local communal cost standards, I think that one is a repair and maintenance program, which was also requested that we include about four facilities in an existing project on RAND. But we couldn't actually be able to do that because at the time when they were requesting it, the department were already saying to discontinue the RAND program. And we had to register those projects separately. For the decision by our regional offices, that is for Malaga and Limpopo regional offices. We are also having them providing the scope by the end of July so that we can actually monitor how that project will be actually executed by the regional office concerned. By the way, I would like to highlight in conclusion, is that we really appreciate the opportunity that which we have had to see our role among all other stakeholders that we presented in the last 2 weeks, so that we can begin to prioritize and bring more kind of focus on these specific projects that relate or link to the CJS modernization process. any other questions that what to deliver on what my colleague Mr. Mabula was conveying to the portfolio committee. That we got a joint task that which works on this particular staff's portfolio. And then we also get to leverage all the services of that social to help us accelerate the ways on these specific projects that we need to criminalize. That is what's just another two for the question. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Public Works, for your presentations. We appreciate it. And thank you also for highlighting the current issues. Maybe just again to recap to those members who came on the 845 bus. We've got three presentations today, starting with Public Works. It's a follow-up in terms of the ICACS, but we've also indicated just give us that other lease picture. Then we're going to have the briefing from IPED Secretariat and State Security Agency on the vetting issue. Then proclamation issues on the table as well today, although proclamations wasn't officially tabled. We will take the presentation, but no discussion that we will be made, because we don't want to do this. And that's what it's going to take a lot of money bringing down sets. So that's all of our program. So we're going to have about 25 minutes now to engage with Public Works on this two topics. And then we'll go forward to the other presentation. So that's the people want to find the most interesting about it. There's two questions per member. First question from my side. Maybe to General Konazi, he's now the co-convener of the task team, according to the presentation that was made. I just want to know, in terms of dealing with these issues from SATS, he's the staff in making progress, because there's still major stumbling blocks. Can you make this from the SATS perspective? What issues are there that you are not getting the necessary support to ensure that you deliver? And then, what I did get from the presentation, and maybe it's a more future presentation, but we had a lot of noise made about the e-police station, I think it's in Mpumalanga province. Now, in terms of developing a model for the city, it's going forward. Is this e-police station part of the plan, or the conceptual plan, or where does it fit in? Because I think OpenFreeze also works on the concept of having a wanted office. So you will have maybe an office in one province and it will be duplicated. But the e-police station, maybe still McConaughey can point out that, where does it fit into the terms of the long-term plan? Because if it's business as usual where, you know, you lease a lot of properties and you must make certain infrastructure changes, is it really speaking to that concept? Members, and then we'll go to the other side and all the others.
Yeah, obviously SATS is, I think, the major stakeholder, which itself is a problem. I don't think SATS should be looking at the issues at all. I mean, surely you should be fine permanent knowledge. But I've looked very carefully through and I listened and I didn't hear anything about the Public Works bylaws. Now, I'm hoping you're going to tell me. In general, I'm hoping you will tell us what your experiences and answers are about to share. But these monthly issues that are not paid, tax members arrive to find the landlords locked them out. They're in a ridiculous situation in Newcastle, 200 police officers locked out in the Newcastle station. They hadn't paid rent since 2009. Your agency, Public Works, hadn't paid rent since 2009. Richard's playing Joe, I hear all over the place. Where the leashes are not rolled over, this ridiculous idea of monthly leashes. I don't know who brainchild that is, but I can imagine it's a monstrous nightmare. So someone has three goes home, it doesn't be paid, and it's actually working in the vehicles outside the bus. So I'd like an update on that. What is the status of this year? Has this nonsense been dealt with? Or are we still where we were 2 years ago? I'm hoping not. I'm hoping there has been an improvement, but it was catastrophic for your reputation. And secondly, I have asked before, I never had a satisfactory answer from any department. Are there citizens in South Africa who are leasing multiple buildings to the SATS? Now, I'm thinking of the contractor Bruce Bangu, We all know about the German building, U-Tron on the dotted line, the National Police Commission at Tron on the dotted line, the research head office at 47 Smith Street in Durban. It was being rented to the cash for 6 million rand a month for a 42 million rand building. It could have been bought in a few months and it was an extended lease. It was just a cash cow for this land. I want to know, are there multiple buildings being rented out to you, cash paying the bill to individuals that the taxpayer is making very rich indeed?
Thank you, Chair. So the UGG, at what stage do you realize the backlogs on the decision? Is it during the lockout or during the process? My next question is, tell us about the Sanlam building in Victoria. What is the situation? Thank you.
Thank you very much,
Thank you, Chair. My first question relates to, if I understood the name correctly, and please correct me if I've got some details wrong. My understanding was that a key aspect of the state national privilege situation that the Kulanarkit was to buy properties and buildings without going to an open tender process, which you need to be able to procure buildings that best fit the structural and location needs of the stations and other facilities. So assuming that understanding is correct and it's understandable, my question is there strong enough monitoring of those mediation processes to ensure that they're not manipulated? Because if you bypass the open tender process on reasonable grounds, can we then ensure that there's strong monitoring that is not manipulated? And we need to put another Shabangwish fiasco. And we need to know what's all those monitoring measures and steps. And my second question is in relation to the property management information system. It's quite shocking to hear that it's not being cleaned or updated and therefore inaccurate, because this comes down to the core business of public works. I mean, it's the equivalent of each office not being up to date. I mean, it'll take havoc of all kinds of different processes. So basically, why is the PMIS system not being kept up to date? Because to my mind, it seems to be a simple systems management issue. Is it the case that there isn't enough stock to covering and updating? Is the actual system itself just inappropriate and unworkable? I see that one of the remedial steps to address that is to move to the Oculus system. How do you prevent the same problems re-emerging in the Oculus system? So that would be a proper analysis of fundamental issues, what's been happening under the current regime, to ensure they don't come up again, whether it's soft, whether it's the system design, or whatever the case might be.
Thank you, Lord Bede, on the market.
Thank you, Chair. On your agenda, I see that the security is very specific. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mula.
According to how I understand the Department of Public Works, it works according to tender awarding. That's the main function of the work. All the work depends on tender awarding. So if this country not in progress the way it is run, and all those little creatures and preparatives and so on, is that not a problem to you? Because I see here there are some allocated monies, but this expenditure is 0-0, and the difference being that some are slow, some are terminating, and so on. We opened up so that we are able to know precisely why public work is not performing as expected by
Principal, the I would presume the official sitting across the Democratic Party for many years. So the pool of experience is quite extensive. I'm making this committee against the backdrop of the issue around construction of buildings, projects, page 92. It talks to projects in Warsaw, then it also seeking for those elements. Now, there doesn't seem to be a management tool. We talked about your physical path. Where is the project? It's too generic. It doesn't have a solution. Projects on design and documentation stages. Aside from the 1 million. For me, that isn't enough. If we want to know where is the project, where location, money spent, project time of delivery, we need also these measures if it helps us. The element of protection is also a factor. The Department of Police comes here, they request funds for capital projects. And this money then gets trapped in the system. It ends up not being utilized with anything financially. There are consequences of this long process of documentation, design, this, that. Now, that high standard needed budgets of funding for projects that are critical to the nation. It would be helpful for the Department of Public Affairs to kind of educate us on these processes. And perhaps we may have to recommend that in future there will be a breakdown on projects from start to finish. There's a clear indication to the committee on those stages. That would therefore enable us to understand if the police carry out an exponentially and demand G. On what pages are they demanding G? It was when it becomes an unfinished business, capital budget, so on and so on. That one of what I said of the issues that I was here for the later point. We were aware of the challenges that the public was going through. I think we were naive, so pretend that's another challenge. How far has the department gone in cleaning its house? In most cases, we clean houses maybe with the same police and the brush. It doesn't give you the same item. And not bring ourselves to the problem. It could be implemented by the DGA and all of that process as well. Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair, and the presentation. There's some struggling with my voice. I just want to ask the question to Public Works. There's about, in your slide, there's about 102 projects that are somewhere in between of documentation and design. Are we talking on those projects and constructions or probably new projects? And if it's so, the field in which you are doing all this and the period, would it affect the transitory process of the police in terms of infrastructure or involved? And associated with that project is the slide where it talks about the whole program of the non-compliance or non-adherence, discrepancies, all the things that you raised in that slide. As far as I can remember, the Public Works have been complete 5-star conversation in the line to a lower level. In other words, a clustering of design of conversation. Whereas it's a commissioner station or in terms of the how the commissioner clustering, you understand the stage, you understand what is it that you require to. So I just want to find out from the public works, why is it that it looks like a kind of shifting goalposts all the time, kind of that you can't reach, even though there is reach, experience, knowledge, and when the police come and say, we want the new police station and carries are for the population, you can do it, and they say, this is a fast population. So I just want to understand this. And I also want to just, while I'm on that chair, the involvement of the General Konazi from the police department, the task team, or join what is called a task team. I just want to understand, is this now a permanent and excuse for my ignorance, chair, in terms of the police division that deals with the infrastructure, is this now the permanent chief going forward? Now, General Mukanazi, with respect, has a lot of experience in other fields. And in those fields, he should be busying himself with not necessarily with what the public works are paid for, but in terms of securing the country. Now, I just want to find out the process of putting the police in out in terms of the spending on the other side to say that the general was also part of it. I don't understand it because you have been there all along. And it's all along this issue of slowness and every time explanation of why it is not that. Why it is a complicated process. Now, the other question has been asked, and I just want to ask a second question, Chair, and in terms of the installation of closed circuit television operation, in one slide, you say that the scope of the project should have been designed, whether there has been a problem, there's a separate project, and so on. In all these, I'm just asking the touch and feel. I understand what has been done, but we can't speak about the complication all the time. We have to say, this is the list of what we have already done. There is a model that is operational. Even that we learn from this pilot. I'm looking at the slide that speaks about scope. And we're dealing with this kind of measures. What effect does it have on slide number 9 when talking about the project and scope and estimations of that? All these things that were about us related to is its implications of budget, because at the end of the day, we see a lot of budget shifted or moved at various, lots of huge amounts moved at various because of the failure to implement these measures. Those are the two questions, even though they were supported by motivation.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kani. Thank you very much for the questions. Over to Jim Makunazi. DG, who wants to start first?
Thank you, Chair. I think colleagues have been able to attend to the public issues or only address one specifically for shots. From the question asked with regard to the standard blocks on the issues, Chair, the experience that I have in the staff in the main relate to the issues of contamination, the enforcement of the contract that public works has with the landlords. For instance, the turnaround time for when any leak at a place to get fees can go up to 3 months sometimes. And the other frustrations that you're having, that contract management seems to be the very weak that we are raising with our colleagues, and we hope there will be improvement on that. So
So the issue of the importation is in some part of this, it is largely a system related issue. It is not an infrastructure country solution. To a certain extent, we have to adjust our system to accommodate that, but this is mainly something that the region team has to be on for the standard okay. So those are things that they are running out of communication time and web smart. And the question asked by the member Karabanat with regards to the experience that you're having on compared blocks in terms of lockups on issues. Thank you, experience any of late. We hope that public works will be finalizing all these contracts that we not experience any in the near future. But again, only hope that our colleagues will assist us on that. The perhaps share the last one which talks about the expiry of leases, which was asked by Honorable Madhurasan, at what age we realize that the issues are expiring before they get renewed. Actually, Chair, this is initiated by SARS. So SARS has an early warning mechanism in place where we get to estimate the process 18 months prior to the start date of the lease. And we send our list to public works so that the policy can start for that. I'm not saying that there is no scientists on that as we are engaging on that process. The idea is that 18 months before they start the lease, we start initiating the process, send the communication to public works so that the negotiation can start. Because that's the largely final situation that although the lease was there, one to renew on the lease, but the need might be different. It might be more space, you know, office space or parking and so forth. So that's how we have to always engage in that process. And perhaps lastly, Chair, the issue regarding the purpose of the health team for summarize like in my involvement in terms of engaging with public works, the regional commission property minister, we have this evolution that happened in 2006, which is a certain number of things that is shots and certain responsibilities. So the starting is aimed at looking at that, whether where we proceed with this devolution. Is it still valid? What was agreed for the devolution? Whether we still in place in on par with what was supposed to happen? Or we need to adjust everything according to that? We need to look at this MOU that we're having between the two partners, the service level agreement, whether it's really working for us or not. And lastly, Chair, which I think maybe will be more problematic for us, as far as that the total of 4.3 billion budget, which is attached to the infrastructure, starts only what you see on the EPT on our document that you table in Parliament only amounts to about 400 million. So 3.9 billion, which is largely managed by public works, does not have your name documentation, and that's a big challenge in terms of accountability. So that's why we're having this workshop to try and streamline those things, because some way that's what we have, that these 3.9 million as well as how to spend, what is target set, and so that the community can be able to monitor us. So this, in short, what I can do is not one of the suspects.
Thank you, General.
Sorry, I had a two-finger on one of the answers, if I may, just ask the General. The issue of the SAT telling public works that at least the public works is arranged is going to expire. I understand why it's being done because of the catastrophic situation with public works getting into regulation. But is that the norm with all the issues now that you've taken over the role of public works to remind them to do their job? And I also want a response from public works. I mean, really, do they do your homework for you?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, all of remember, it is a legal process that before public works can procure anything for any for SARS, it needs to come from the end user. So we need to identify what we need. Like I said, we could occupy the building, and when the lease ends, we might find a situation that we don't need the building anymore. You know, according to that, we've got a lot of we do still have some living accommodation, like parks that are being, and we can get out of them. We can't be paying, because this budget is constrained, we can't be paying money on the barrel that is not necessarily being occupied or well maintained, and it's in need. So we want to get out of SARS. So then I would have to then work back with them. Do not renew this lease, we want out of this building. So these are the reasons why the need has to come out before they can start the process.
Thank you.
Chair General Makwanazi, DDG.
Thank you. Chairperson, honorable members of the Portfolio Committee. I need to clarify the following issues. When Minister Nancy was appointed by the President in late October 2011, she was given a mandate to come and turn around public works. And a new process was followed. Because of which, our Minister, after a diagnostic analysis conducted by the Technical Assistance Unit of National Treasury, made it an issue to public works at the top bottom and failed to deliver the key services for which they need. And I happen to be the person who has been appointed to come and see the we have to, in turning around public works, pick on the immediate things that have to be done and prioritize which will be done first. We have to fix the finances, we have to stop the fraud and corruption, we have to fix this area of issues because of Busha Bangu, Minister, and all that things there. And as part of that process, we have made some significant gains and we are going to demonstrate that here. But equally, we have still not reserved our chances of infrastructure investment. We've initiated a process in terms of which over the last 2 months we've appointed the former head of public works from operations, Mr. Samuel Ramachandran, to come and get a turnaround of our infrastructure project delivery in the office of the Director General, and we have a turnaround plan in place. The very team that is about this side is part and parcel of that family. The benefits of which we will see in the next 12 to 24 months in terms of that family. Insofar as the challenge of issuing goes, it's true. We should not be issuing a police station. It's supposed to own the police. We, in fact, are issuing a police station in 1917 in the rest of the game. In PE. At some point, that police station should have been out of the turnaround. So, as part of the turnaround, here and the significant direction of charges is we must make it to reduce the issue in and have ownership. Once we reach or we go and reach a forensic laboratory, if we do management or a record check. So, clearly, under those circumstances, we need to find a new way of doing. Now, before 1994, it was easy for the master party government. They didn't have a PSMA or a compliance to management framework, and then they had to go on a look at 10 years, and they extended the issue like ministers. But we are obliged by law to go out and open simply. And that's the serious problem. You can't go on an open tender for a police station that you are having to reduce already and you invest in security. Therefore, part of the turnaround, we now have to find a way in which, one, we can extend that need, but two, work with friends to see which of those facilities we are leasing can be converted to permanent accommodations. So we avoid this is the police station or the forensic laboratory. In this respect, it is our duty as public works to do the contract license and to work towards timelessly renewing the lease. But really, that is not negotiating. We're supposed to borrow tender. And that's what we are trying to now get approved by Treasury, that we need a new way of dealing with those kinds. It's very easy to go out and reach a headquarters just to have a tender. But those departments have shared that the cost of moving inside is astronomical for them to accommodate within their budget.
requirements. The knockout section that was there. Yes, new classes is a good example, but the issue of new classes is not a big element of containment. It was a contextual dispute about space occupied and not occupied. And whether we pay for that space that we were using, that was not part of the issue. So the issue of new classes is not as perhaps commonly portrayed in the classes about equality of claims. It was a contractual dispute, and I did indicate in my presentation earlier, one of the real problems we have in the relationship that is really state tension. But by some arrangement between a subsidiary and technology, their officials negotiate or do some engagement with their landlord, utilize space X plus Y. And then a year or two later, the dispute that arises is now the landlord wants to be paid, not for just X, but for X plus Y. And that was the assignment mentioned as a matter of Newcastle, and I believe personally with my beliefs of self to attend to that question. And so, like here there have been occasions there we were to be locked up because we didn't pay. It's equally true, I would like to have one in Atlanta municipality because we did not pay our dues. But we need to better manage how we deal with municipalities in relation to payment. Some of the municipalities aren't able to utilize the payment. We have also those difficulties that also have. I just need to make a correction. The SOD that was brought is the Samuel Kama Khali from the entry of the Oxford Hospital to Bakami. So that's the priority. So what is done to change and to prevent fraud and corruption and have greater oversight is now centralized by the system of office. Firstly, no lease agreement is concluded and signed up in any lease. That's likely it comes before me and some of the leases we benefit through that. So that we are also. Secondly, we are paid to begin to reduce the price per square meter. And that discussion is a painful one. It takes time. If you just want to blindly find the issues that we're there, we have finished much of that earlier. But we have to go through this process of reducing the annual escalation rate to 5.5 and renegotiate the price per square meter. So insofar as those issues go, we've made significant progress. We would have saved some quite a bit of money in terms of reducing those costs. Insofar as the question that was asked about the seminar building, I'm sure you were referring to Benetton. That matter was a subject of litigation in terms of which the bank and others were taking us in court. Just reached a point where they want to offer an offer session. So the matter is not really here at the moment, in this respect, because we have challenged the validity of that issue, and we are in the process of offering second session. Insofar as our property management information system, we didn't need anyone to tell about the background. When we came in 2012, we did an analysis of the property management information system together with the audit committee, and we pick up that the system itself lacked significant controls, and there were no audit trades. It allowed too many people access to make too many changes. As a consequence, we started to build in some of the controls, but equally it was a cold enterprise system that was more a database rather than a business proactive property management. And
put in place that we fix up. The migration process, we will no longer have incorrect information. The capturing into that system only occurs now in head office and no more in any other. So when we have about 3,000 DGP and 4,000 DGP, which can be managed, they all don't come to us at one go. So in the centralization process, we have to mitigate the issues of border corruption, which are quite endemic, just to capture the system or a property being leased in their name and then they're occupied by chefs, and therefore in working with that we are able to identify those and be able to deal with them. If we don't work with chefs, then we will never know whether the business is like an individual or not. And I think the exercise we started with chefs in 2013, especially around the renewal of lease, was quite beneficial because it will highlight which landlords are indeed not living up to their obligations. So as part of the renewal, we just don't renew the lease, we insist on certain things back. Some landlords are really terrible, and we must maintain their facilities. But we have then little option to ask my colleagues to check or finding an alternative. And then we go and start our own building program. And especially in small town rural areas, there are many of the facilities that have been converted from houses to provide some accommodation for us. So I think in that respect, I would have covered generally the questions that were asked about the issue as a way to ask the other police to do the infrastructure in that respect.
Thank you. I'm interested in that. Infrastructure is related to the questions that are start with the ones of the challenges and alternatives. The first point we'd like to make, Honourable Members, is that an open tender aspect is for 30 days by law. 20 days is located for full evaluation and adjudication of those tenders, or that solution. 5 days is allocated for the client to approve the tender. For example, if in your pre-tender estimate, your police station was going to be worth about 35 million at the tender, in terms of the estimate. When you go out on the market, suppose it be that they have made a 60 million, you can't allow it. Because your estimate is 60 million, you have to go back to the client and establish whether or not we can proceed with the 60 million. After 30 days, once the confirmation with the client, before we have to then appoint the winning contractor. But before the winning contractor can mobilize sites, we have to take his or her documentation to the state security agency for purposes of security. By law, otherwise we can't proceed. Now, with all these procurement stages, if any of these stages does not yield favorable results, we have to start an entire evaluation of the process. So if the winning contractor does not get, for example, streaming positive, we can proceed. If when we order an open tender, there is no bidder, we can't proceed, we have to start afresh. Otherwise, it will be fair, just, and competitive. That's a problem in principle about the tender. Everything then, with a question of non-performance issue as one of the major issues that we're having. It's still issuing police station and so forth and so on. If you look at the TSMA, there's two options to procure goods and services in Ghana, depending on the monetary value of the transaction. The transaction is 1 million and below, we use what we call the 80-20-4. 80 representing preference, rather price, 20% in preference. If the transaction is above 1 million, we use the 90% principle. 90% in price, 10% in preference. One of the issues that we've learned across the construction industry in South Africa is that some of the contracts because price is the most determining factor, what they do with the grid for fuel infrastructure, they actually underprice. So if the police station was going to make 35 million, the price is in their bidding at 34 million. And those who know the actual market will come at 35 million above. But because the determining factor is price or preference, you will have money that reaches disqualify that particular contract. So to underprice, win the contract. Once the bid is constructed 30%, they decide. That's what happened in this. They decide the police station is not building completely. What we then do as government is we terminate that contract. But once we terminate that contract, they issue two designations. They take it to court to say, you have unfavorably terminated their contract. It's true that the decision took 2 years after terminating the contract. Seamus Prison took us 2.5 years after we terminated the contract because the contractor then took us to court and we can't proceed to appoint another contractor to commit to our work simply because there's litigations that are going on with the state. So to a lesser extent, issues of non-performance of contractors impacting on contracts slowly not being completed, it is because of the issue of subcontractors, and I'm not saying all, subcontractors actually underpricing because the most determining factor in terms of the procurement is a question of price. Otherwise, in terms of the number of contractors that are under a design change, we can provide another member of education in terms of the yes,
thank you very much to the public who's involved with the information as well as that. I think that we had this one today, and we appreciate the fact that public works is also part of the CDS project at last. We appreciate that. But I think what's going to be important for the community going forward, I think the important point that we come on today, we will have much space in the third term to look at that, what's happening on that in terms of those projects. Then also in terms of the oversight visit, I think that we're going to do in July, especially focus on the leases of those facilities. What is the challenge, and then maybe just in terms of the current projects, I think the CFR building, the central firearms registry is a priority for the country. We know it's not currently on the, let's say, priority list, but we did visit there last year, and it's a big risk in terms of, I think, also in terms of facilities, but I mean, it needs to be, isn't intended to be given to that by the joint task. So we know how the joint task will look at that as a priority, because we need to in terms of also reconsider the CFR, but the communication, there is a huge problem, and we're not going to deal with those issues if we don't do that effectively. So thank you very much, Public Works and the Society of Resources. We go now to the second item.
If we can, I understand now we're not having this system, but if we can ask for a written response to the CFR situation. I mean, it is, I think, critical, and it's one of the priorities. I think it has to be that we can make sure they get our report. And secondly, there's a reference to the corruption. And I don't know who the new man is, this time I've seen it, but I like him. First time I've ever, I was reading this meeting, and I'm astounded at what we said. But if we could just see if there have been arrests in relation to the corruption that was being referred to. I would hate to think people just being hired and then be hired and under the promise to do something.
Right, thank you very much. Thank you very much. We will now go to the second reading that's going to be by South African Police Service on the proclamations. As I indicated earlier, we're not going to take any questions on that. We'll have an interview later in the year. So, Charlie, you can go ahead. The rest is welcome to make you leave the premises. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, if I just recognize my colleague, the supervisor general of the next to me, if I'm going to the briefing. Chair, as we had a briefing, this is definitely not just a routine or a formality. I think in terms of the broader combating of terrorism worldwide, these proclamations do play a very important role. Chair, we have previously, during a previous committee, pointed out that the process of publishing these grants are actually very lengthy, and in terms of what is required of us, we actually like
I'm not sure the question. We have granted the proposals in that regard, but they've been repeated at this point by the National Prosecuting Authority to just appoint this regard as a result of challenges to the terrorism legislation by Mr. Oba, who was the Nigerian person who was prosecuted for terrorism offenses in Nigeria. So we hope to come to the committee sometime soon with proposals on our process. Chair, this is the first meeting of its kind in the present committee. Some of the members who have been exposed to previous briefings know that as we progress, some of these briefings become shorter because the committee knows about the issues. But in any event, there are some developments, especially relating to the protection of human rights, etc., within the discipline process. So I think it's necessary that the committee take cognizance of, and time being available, I will just touch on this as well. So some of the developments in the issue of foreign terrorist fighters, the recruitment of people all over the world to join in terrorist actions like in Syria, and the fact that the issue of terrorism is being experienced all over the world, in the Russian Federation, Syria, East Africa, Nigeria, and Mali. So really, there is a need for a coordinated action throughout the world in order to combat terrorism. It is become imperative to ensure that Al-Qaeda and Taliban and related terrorist groups are denied the most important facilities required in order to commit terrorist acts, namely the funding, access to weapons, and the ability to travel freely. The United Nations Security Council has set up a strategy committee which must list individuals and entities who are part of or linked to Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. Member states of the United Nations are obliged in terms of Chapter 7 of the United Nations Charter to give effect to the following in respect of individuals and entities so listed, by means of enforcing the respect of such individuals or groups or entities, asset fees, arms embargo, and travel ban. The Protection of Constitutional Democracy Against Terrorism and Related Activities Act provides for the enforcement of these sanctions, publication and result of the proclamations made by the President, as well as parliamentary oversight, and the Security Council has appointed an honest person to investigate submissions for the election. See, Mr. Gar, I can just mention that it has happened that there were confusions of names of persons using the same name. There has been criticism against the United Nations on the way in which the listings are being done. So there has been a huge improvement in that regard by the United Nations Sanctions Committee, and especially the appointment of this ombudsperson, who is appointed by the Secretary General of the United Nations to make proposals regarding the listing. Chair, the committee has requested us to brief the committee on the respect of entities and involved in terrorist-related activities, which have been published in proclamations since the previous briefing. The last briefing was made in March in the NCFP committee. So there's quite a list of publications that have taken place in the meantime. Chair, I'm not going into detail on any publication. It's simply an addition or removal of a name from the list. None of these people are in South Africa. If they had been, I think the debate would have been quite different and the approach would have been quite different. So I'm not going to waste time. The committee has received the briefing. It's about 13 proclamations, which copies have been made available to the committee. So I will go to slide number 7. In terms of the United Nations Charter, the members of the UN agreed to accept and carry out the decisions of the Security Council in accordance with the present charter. Then section 2313 of the Constitution just refers to the obligation of South African government to abide by international conventions, and of course this act has been as a member of the United Nations, South Africa is bound by these obligations. So on slide 9, the resolution of the United Nations Security Council, the notification by the President in respect of entities identified, it just states that that is in terms of the present terrorism legislation, the President
publication must, by proclamation in the Gazette and other appropriate means of publication, give notice that the Security Council of the UN under Chapter 7 of the Charter has identified a specific entity. It has been an entity who commits or tends to commit any terrorist and related activity, or participates in or facilitates the commission of any terrorist and related activity, or an entity against whom member states of the UN must take the action specified in the resolutions of the said Security Council in order to combat, prevent terrorist and related activities. So I can just mention the other method that has been pointed out in the proclamations by the President is that these proclamations must also be placed on the website of the South African Police Service. And there's also a cross-referencing on the Financial Intelligence Center website to the website of the South African Police Service. So on slide 11, provides that every proclamation issued under Section 25 shall be tabled in Parliament for its consideration and decision, and Parliament might thereupon take such steps as it may consider necessary. Yeah, I think one of the first questions that might arise by the members is what is the role of Parliament exactly in this? And as the Act says, it's for consideration and decision, and Parliament may take such steps as it may consider necessary. Chair, I don't think it's a matter of Parliament changing or taking notes from this that has been drafted by an international organisation. But should a South African, for example, be listed, I can imagine that Parliament could take a decision that there must be certain investigations and reporting back to Parliament on what's happening. Because if there is information that, on which the person is listed, that the person is involved in terrorist activities, surely there must be an interest from the police as an organisation to investigate those issues. One of the further developments is that previously there was what was called a consolidated list. That is where the Al-Qaeda and Taliban suspects were placed into one list. From the 17th of June 2011, there is actually a distinction between the Al-Qaeda and the Taliban lists. They are kept separately, and the consolidated list has taken another form. It now contains the name of Al-Qaeda and Taliban, but also other changes, which does not fall under terrorism legislation, but for instance, sanctions, economic actions, etc., which falls on another level. So the consolidated list is broader, but that list is also placed by Interpol on their website. See on slide 13, the Al-Qaeda list is divided into individuals and entities. And of course, that list is also available on the internet of on the United Nations website, and states are encouraged to circulate it as widely as possible. Regarding the Taliban list, also divided between individuals and entities, also available on the website. And member states are encouraged to submit names for listing as soon as supporting evidence is obtained. The committee considered proposed listings on the basis of being associated with either Taliban or Al-Qaeda. Before proposing names, member states are encouraged to approach states of residence or citizenship of the individual or entity to obtain additional information. Member states are also encouraged to propose names of individuals responsible or concerned with the scheme. It's very important when member states need, they need to provide a detailed statement of case in support of the listing. That must include specific findings demonstrating the association or activities alleged. Must also provide intelligence, law enforcement, judicial, media information and admissions, and supporting evidence or documents, and details of any connection with currently listed individual or entity. The statement of case chairship must be reasonable, except for parts that the member state identifies as confidential, and the committee may use it for a narrative summary. That narrative summary is later made available to the individual as well as publicly. Member states must provide the committee with as much relevant information in order to have accurate and positive identification of individuals, groups, undertakings, and entities. There is a standard form that is used for the listing, different forms for individuals and entities, and if the listing is approved, the committee updates either the Taliban or Al-Qaeda list and also the consolidated list. The Secretariat of the Sanctions Committee notifies the permanent mission of the country, of which the individual or entity is a national, and includes a narrative summary of the reasons for the suit. The description of the effect of the suit and procedure for listing, the member state must, in accordance with domestic and international law, notify the individual or the entity of the listing and the relevant information, and the office of the ombudsperson also notify the individuals or entities if the address is known after the permanent issues are notified. That information is republished also on the Interpol website on the special United Nations members. The amendments are updating by the Committee on Information provided by member states, regional or international organizations, and there's a monitoring team that works hand in hand with the Sanctions Committee to advise and assist to convey information to the requesting states. Chair, I've already mentioned the effect of listing the freeze assets, the arms embargo, as well as travel ban. When a person applies for delisting, the petitioner submits a request for delisting to the office of the chair ombudsperson. And a member state may also voluntarily consult with the designated state of nationality, residence, or incorporation in terms of making application for the delisting of. The chairperson will circulate a request including appropriate additional information provided by the monitoring team. The request is placed on the committee's agenda and states are invited to submit views. The committee gives due consideration to opinions of designated states of residence, nationality, or incorporation. If an objection is received, the committee rejects the listing request. Of course, there is also a move to remove deceased persons from the list as it could affect the next of kin in terms of the estates, etc. Regarding the ombudsperson chair, the ombudsperson, whenever she receives an application for delisting, there is a process of gathering of information, followed with the monitoring keys. That is normally a period of 3 or 4 months, which can be extended for another 2 months. Reporting comprehensive report to the committee and the monitoring key. And the present ombudsperson describes that I will provide the committee with an analysis of the underlying information and my independent assessment as to the sufficiency of the case. Chair, there's also been quite a development in the sense that previously the ombudsperson only reported to the Sessions Committee. Presently, the ombudsperson makes the recommendation, and if one would make a study of the cases, that's about 2 cases per month for the past number of years, you will find that in most instances, the recommendation of the ombudsperson in terms of the delisting has actually been followed. Chair, I think the only other issue is the issue of maybe the question might arise on how does a case against a person do. I've just taken one of the recent cases, a person by the name of Felikov. He was listed on 23 March 2015, pursuant to paragraphs 2 and 4, etc., related to the participating in the financing, planning, facilitating, preparation of, or perpetrating of acts or activities, recruiting for, that is for different terrorist organizations, the Islamic movement of Uzbekistan, and all these movements are linked to Al-Qaeda. And there's about 3 pages of information set out, mostly publicly available information from websites and also where the person himself has claimed to do certain things. He's linked to bombs, etc., etc. So the list or the statement of case is then reduced into this narrative summary, which is quite informative and serves as the basis for the list. In respect of each person that is now being listed, the instruction narratives for some of the valid persons who are making it to a free available check. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, John. Jacobs, gentlemen, anything?
Point of discussion for the honorable committee members. I think the presentations from the State Board, that will be the only questions to do. But thanks for being here.
Right, thank you very much, Saps, for that presentation. As we've indicated, we will have later when the proclamations are formally tabled, have a few days to come on that, so thank you very much. We just trust that the proclamations will be tabled.
on. Honourable members, we're going to take a 10-minute break, and then when we come back, we're going to deal with the vetting issues of items as well as preparing. Thank you very much. 10 minutes break.
The presentation coming was in tables, but it some members couldn't actually discuss it.
She's not here. Yes. In fact, I think it's even updated because they're not talking about ISIS, they're talking about Al Qaeda and Taliban. So people can really panic. You know, this is why this is. Yes. You see this thing of them watching this thing on cameras on TV. Yeah. Now she's freaking up. Oh yeah. I hate it when you see sometimes, you know, when you can actually see on TV and then they start telling you, they tell you what to do and know that it's not the show. There's nothing in there. No, I did not go. I went in. What was the other group? I wanted to, but there was another. No, I think it took a fight. It was too much. Mm-hmm.
I think there's only one more list for the criteria. I think that's probably
morning, how are you? It's the last meeting, so we should all be in a good mood.
I'm going to see the leave next week.
I'm taking the whole month off in July, actually, but just to focus on my American and Master's thesis.
Okay.
So,
that's it, goes well.
Yeah, thank you so much.
My monthly payment schedule for my rent.
Oh, yes.
I need to cancel it. And I don't know if I'm still have been. Because I completely forgot. I only remember
the remember how much?
No.
No. No, you got on.
So I need to go and check it out and see if I'm too late. But also, the time I want to come to.
You've got to do that now, Jeremy. We only have this before we would have gone. Oh my gosh, I don't
know. I don't
know.
What do you want?
Okay, maybe just let me. The gift is a fan of that. It's the lace of your hair.
Like I watched in like,
yeah.
contrast with that. You know, now, I mean, I don't think it will be longer than
report on progress made since I came here last time to give a presentation of the status of the secretariat and admin. The scope will cover the mandate of not going to detail. Follow up meeting the secretariat of police and registration status report of the LPD and then our conclusion. I will not go into detail in terms of the mandate that I covered last time. I'll just indicate that I would like to mention that I had with the student secretariat on the 11th of May, in which I had a meeting with the acting head, where I detailed to hear the process relating to the acting head, especially with regard to the completion of admission of relevant supporting documents, including the availability of officials to be translated. A total number of 11 officials were identified as requiring immediate security clearances, and they identified officials as following. Ms. Correa, Mr. Machilini, Ms. Bell, Ms. Omar, Mr. Jimu, Mr. Fasson, Mr. Mbao, Mr. Kofa, Mr. Mahan, Mr. Royte, and Mr. Mahan. Several meetings were also held on the 1st of June, and the civil completion and submission of forms and harassment was discussed and agreed upon. This is to say that the process of reaching of the identified there and other members may be completed by the end of July 2015, or forms and supporting documents are submitted to. The following slide indicates progress made after the above mentioned mission. In terms of the secretary for police, the acting secretary has not yet submitted as a set work of form. Mr. Masidini submitted a set work of form on the 13th of May, and all interviews with regards to that have been done. Ms. Bell submitted as on the 26th of May, and the file has been allocated within this data. Ms. Omar submitted the set work of form on the 19th of June, and the file has been captured in our system, and the region is data has been allocated to the file. Mr. Zoom has not been submitted. Mr. Fasson submitted on the 22nd of May, and subject and reference not used were connected. Mr. Mgao has not yet submitted. Mr. Masan has not yet submitted. Ms. Carolette submitted on the 10th of June, and interviews have been arranged. Mr. Masano is not applicable in terms of admission because he still has a valid clearance that has been on 2017, July 31st. Mr. Kompo submitted on the 1st of June and interviews were conducted. Mr. Rogers submitted on the 19th and the documents were submitted. Mr. Soman submitted on the 19th of June and documents were submitted. Mr. Mukatuti submitted on the 1st of June and interviews were conducted. Mr. Masano submitted on the 10th of June and interviews were conducted. Mr. Nose submitted on the 1st of June and interviews were conducted. Mr. Palaman, Ms. Palaman submitted on the 1st of June and interviews were conducted. Mr. Masachi submitted on the 3rd and interviews were conducted. Ms. Matoma submitted also on the 10th of June and interviews were being arranged. Mr. Mahmoud submitted on the 13th of May and interviews were conducted. The status of some management personnel and IP is as follows. As reported last time, the executive was on suspension as a very clear that was issued on the 20th of May. Mr. Parsons, the director executive support, his head director was issued on 2014 in October. Mr. Kuba's clearance was issued to 21st. Morema's clearance was issued in 2011. Leholo, Musi, Tukera, Dalini, and Mongo, all the clearance in that time. Mr. Socket's file was open on 2014-09, and with the file record there, the file is still under investigation, including that of this Medianda, who is awaiting a polygraphy test. Mr. Alevi, the file was opened on 20,
in 2016, February 2nd, together with Sokolo, whose trial was opened in March 26th. Mosale's trial was opened again in 2016, in January. These are files that are in progress. And Maoka trial was opened in January also. The trial of hearing was opened in 2014. Palace clearance was issued in 2013, getting it still valid. The Musumbure trial that is awaiting photograph. The Kavanyana verdict, that time was here on the 20th, and indicated at that time that the clearance was in process. The subsequent to them, the 22nd of May, the clearance was issued. Mr. Tshedi, trial was open in May, Mutrakaya was open in June, and Shilawusi was open in May. Mr. Gudu's trial was open in 2016 and in process. Gareth here expired, and we have not yet received any request for liberty. Maharaj was cleared in 2016, 20th of May. The Norway's file was opened in June. The Jangas' file was opened in June also on the 19th. Musmali Kato was opened in June also. The Norway's file was opened in May. The Morawasia's file was opened in June this year. And Arab request for hearing has not yet been received by the SSA. That is the status with regards to the change. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. I think it's a topic of presentations last time. I think the government's committee is a very thorough one, and that is exactly where we should have. I think there's been progress made quite yet, but there's one or two very big concerns. But to come to that, I first want to ask. I could just maybe to add, you submitted a very thorough presentation, maybe to deal with those issues of non-compliance with any issues, and then other questions. And Mr. Pamayani, you can also deal with those issues.
Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Chairman, and honourable members. My name is Israel Pamayani, CPED. With Mr. Moses Amene, Professor, and the Telegram Ministry of Community Security, and Wanda Xiao Bate, the unit, which is the DD Resident Unit, and the Telegram Ministry, DDPLO. Since we were here on the 27th of May, 2015, the presentation that we have sent, it hasn't changed much. It was not an update with regards to matters that came after that. But we will look at the slide number 7 with regards to the graph there. It indicates 20 SMS members applications are in process, 2 not submitted, and those 2 are submitted on the 22nd of June, which is in the Bengala. No, and I think us, and I think they are submitted to the stadium on the 23rd of June. So those 2 also they are submitted, they were the only people which were abstaining. Mr. Soko reapplied because the first one expired as per our records. But we then also the 10th, we got very clearance. And in respect of the current vacancy status, slide number 8, I think that we have covered in the chart that I've indicated. In respect of number 9, we are in agreement with SSA. It's only in Mr. Dlamini, which is Dlamini's case, where they indicated that the submission of 11 January 2010 of the recommendations today for Mr. Nadi to be headed, that he was headed on 2012 clearance issues. That was never communicated to us. So Mr. Nadi is here, and security is here, who are sitting. So it's possible they are still having it at the SSA, but they follow up with them with regards to the city. Those are the outstanding. Slide number 10, with regards to my clearance then, because it was an issue last application that was by SSA, it was 1, 2, 3. The other one, it was 1998, the second one, 2006, and the third one, it was 2014. And the blue one shows that it was issued on 1999, the other one, 2009, the other one, 2015. Expiry date, green is 2014. Then the one which was submitted last year, the third one, to the FAA, it was leaving before the expiry of September last year. And polygraph test was done during June. And that's the one that I just received and it expired in 2020. May it first, Mr. Sosoko, the next page, 11 there, you see that the application say it was 1, 2, 3, and issued only 2, the third one is still outstanding from SSA, that's the one with the reapplications, and those two, from the green there, it is the days of the expired, and the third one is still outstanding result from SSA. Then there is that one of Mr. Amene on the 12th side. Same story there. Our record shows that we are still awaiting the results from SSA instead of Mr. Moses Amene, expired in the application. Then the agenda is the same, the register 2, 22, and still outstanding from SSA. I think that's all from our side, chapter 7, and honorable members.
As indicated by Mr. Bruno, the facility agency has a national computer responsibility, which includes signatures to neutralize foreign or hostile intelligence operations and to protect classified information. So, in general, all public services because of that are obligated to have gone through three important screenings, which is the basic criminal record, your financial stability, your academic qualifications, and resources, and then also upon inquiry that travel services are fixed to put out the particular form, and then your classification in accordance with the job description. So because of the power that is given to civilian secretariat, it becomes actually imperative that it do have the security clearance, because we have access to any body or premises that are under the control of the police. We have access to any information or documents that may be required that is under the control of the police. And we are also the police obligated to assist us in any of our work related to our mandate. And then also any other state or government department which is required to assist us. So it is imperative that they have security clearance. Now related to that, I think it's also important that members of the committee appreciate that we just recently migrated from SAS. As the government thinks that it wasn't done in 60 before. So when I got there, but as discovered that in some instances some of the staff haven't gone through the pre-employment screening process. So we have people that qualifications haven't been verified. People didn't have basic understanding of minimum information security status. And so because of that, and also because the secretary was in fact before, it wasn't that critical for secretary to start to and so that's why the basic things should work in place. But that was the first thing we introduced. We enforced the pre-employment screen did a presentation on this, said because it wasn't available, so our corporate services did it. And we also asked all our staff to fill in the letter of report, and the deadline for that was the 30th of October. Then what we did is we started to engage stakeholders with regards to purchasing of food. In the submission that was given to me, I was informed that stakeholders did it, they can't purchase it because not a designated department. So I'm concerned that we think we wrote to stakeholders indicating that we are a designated department and requesting them back again to purchase our food to be informed. We then met on the 11th of May, and in addition to the prioritization discussion, I was also informed that the reason why security didn't do our form was because there was clarity on whether it should be, or clarity was short, on whether it should be the function of crime intelligence, or whether it should be the function of state security. And then I explained why we can't have crime intelligence doing our security clearance, and it was agreed that state security will then do the security clearance of the secretariat. I was also ensured that state security has all the capacity to do all of the staff, and because of the urgency, due to the outcome of the portfolio committee, we indeed did prioritize which people would see later. And then, thereafter, I found out after feedback from the following portfolio committee, meaning that state security has reported to the portfolio committee that only two of the forms that we submitted were fully compliant. So we issued a directive to everyone in the secretariat to resubmit the forms with all the documentation. And that is why the deadline that was agreed by state security is just due to our initial deadline, which were October, and that we've got it calling and signatures for all of that. Nonetheless, we are very happy to report that the meeting closes again almost immediately. So the meeting was the 11th of May, and from the following week, already the staff were reporting that interview closes were underway. From our side also, between May and today, we appointed an executive officer with our director for an anti-corruption, and he's responsible for ensuring compliance around everything, compliance around risk, compliance around hire, compliance around charger, compliance around financial disclosures, and also compliance with regard to the rating process. Now, indeed, with regard to our business, the only 19 forms submitted were fully compliant, and then there were two forms that were issued the upgrade. So these two people who got the security clearance before they came to the secretariat, it's Mr. Mujal and Mr. T.J. Machango. Their security clearance levels are confidential, and it needs to be at top security. So they resubmitted these forms only yesterday. Then three forms wasn't at all. Two of the three forms wasn't accessed by their security. That is mine and Mr. Philip Machango. The reason why our form wasn't submitted was accepted was because our divorce certificate wasn't included. So we're hoping that we get to get the divorce certificate by tomorrow and then we get to submit. Then with the grant of Mr. Zimmel, that comes from the third person. Mr. Zimmel has moved to the ministry, and because the rating is that is just into the rating of the secretariat, and because the migration process has now been concluded, it is not possible for it means that if Mr. Zimmel can go to the ministry, he moved off the secretariat establishment and onto the staff establishment. So it's now a true security clearance form that's outstanding. In terms of the way forward, we've asked all our SMS members to submit the security clearance forms, and we collected as 4 that by SSA. 3 forms are outstanding, 1 becomes not in voice, and then the choice is mine, and Mr. Philip Machango, also we have Mr. Samuel, this is what it's going to come in. And then what we've done also is, regarding the engagement, we say which potential non SMS members need to be prioritized after we've gone through the priority list of the managers, the top managers of the civilian executive, and then after with
after the legal non-SMX and then thereafter the essential non-SMX. And although they haven't submitted the forms to state facility with the internally 18 of the 18 essential people, only 16 have submitted the forms. And to us still outstanding, so we also hope that they can be submitted by today. In that regard, from the aging non-essential, from the aging essential non-essential, two have already been submitted to the state security, and the rating has already begun on those two. And our head of facility management, that is sitting in back, and then also Mr. Chable, because two of them are responsible for managing the related pool, so we wish they had been rated. Then we asked all of our other staff, the non-SMS, to submit their forms by the 30th of June, and then once all the staff in the secretary has been rated, we need to have our board members rated, and then we need to have our service providers rated. What we have done in the meantime with regard to service providers is we are using the National Treasury Database, because everyone in the National Treasury Database has been using this. Now, the reason why we start service providers related is because we have a whole lot of individuals, almost every single week or second week. We have an individual, we need to provide food. So we need to ensure that our service providers are not the security risk. So that is why we are using service providers that either on database of the Department of Health, which is food related, or service providers from the database of National Treasury. In the case of new appointees, as indicated by everyone, this is you join, you are compelled to fill out your electoral form, and we've given a leeway of 3 months for the electoral process to be completed. In conclusion, Honourable Members and Chair, the service of the Singapore Police, we are really very really serious about the vetting process, and we have prioritized the vetting. And all of us have cleared our diaries in such a manner that the staff are available to participate in the interviews. And already, as we said by Mr. Jordan, already are at 3 interviews for non, as supervisor of senior staff. So if this is going here, then also from outside we have Makawota, who is responsible for ensuring and monitoring that people submitting forms, and then as supported by Mr. Chibble. And then from State Security Staff, it's Mr. Koroma, so he interacts with me also on a weekly basis to keep him up to date on what the gaps are. And amongst themselves, they interact on a regular basis. And we want to thank CSA for all the efforts, because it is very clear that they've been for the past 2 weeks, they've been working day and night to ensure that our security service is up to date. Thank you.
Thank you for the presentation. We've got those questions and comments from members on the issues. Honourable Professor.
Thanks a lot. Civilian Secretary, 11 of charge identified was. Let's get this. Who is actually better completely within 37? And the officials who have not submitted, do perhaps know the reasons for this, why they have not submitted.
Chair, look, I hope this meeting is going to take things on the way forward to sorting out issues. But there were a number of rather bizarre claims made on either side. One was the Secretariat not being available from December last year till May this year. So I don't understand when one is claiming they're doing all they can and the other one says nothing's available, what was happening there and has that been sorted out. And also there was a claim that both the audit and the secretariat were not, and I'm quoting exactly, not his responsibility there. There's a responsibility of the Staff's Crime Intelligence and it's not their job to advise the secretariat because they could get their own standards 2 weeks. Well, here we should still some outstanding, but again, have these issues been resolved? You're looking like a divorced couple. Everybody looks in opposite directions. It's like there's a big problem. So all we want is to sort it, and we can move on. It seems there have been some breakthroughs, but I'm looking for an assurance that actually you're all on the same page, you're walking to the same tune, and we're not going to have to pull everybody back again to discuss this issue for that long time. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to the Secretary of State. It is my pleasure to be in this position. You didn't trust me to what you said because you all not wonder what you said. But we should be kind of test. My second question. Why those five also saw one with the other? The next thing is my next question is for the IT. I want to know about those who submitted there for the 20% of 2015. Why the instruction that we must have written on the 22nd, or is submitted them because they know that they are coming to the Supreme Committee on the 24th. Thank you, sir.
Hello, Namura. Hello, Namakami. Other names, just please indicate all of them. Okay, hello, Mavi.
Well, thank you very much, Namakami. I was looking for the date of the meeting we had from Delhi that we had with the SAA. Now I have my date mixed up. It looks like it was a date in May. It could have been around early May.
It was actually the 20th of May. The conference of PNG.
30th of May. Now, and then we had a meeting. I just wanted to find out in this date whether in that meeting we had another meeting on the 27th where we had located the meeting and that I had explained and the secretary explained. In that meeting, what it became clear was that there's some communication gap between the SSA as well as the others who submit to it. What I want to find out, Chair, is that we sorted out. What is the position of IPED on page 10, 11, and 13, and 13 of that? There seems to be issues that are outstanding, and there's basically denial from the IPED that the other have received them or they've been communicated to by SSA. And in the presentation of SSA, it does not acknowledge that these are the things that are still probably outstanding. And some of them are critical. My shareholder, Machina. Why is it so? Why is it? Well, those are managers who are responsible, who they're supposed to be certainty. Why is it so that there is still this gap between that communication of the central office at this point that you are going to meet this office. Now you make a slide that has a strange, that says, it says, it's on a written down there, but it's like this, and I don't understand what it means. It says, interview conducted. Now I don't know what it means, and it doesn't mean that the whole process from the individual in the interview to the file or everybody that is supposed to be interviewed has that been completed. Or is it part of it? Because it's a summarized version of a completed. And if it's completed, the issue is the outstanding issue. What's your time frame for issue? If that has been completed. So that's what we didn't get there, that I want to try and make
a little more here.
Can you tell us then, as you're saying, and I think the most damages of cultures, let's say, in English they say, we don't block the dead horse. In my language they say, can't keep on killing a snake if it's dead. I'm rather satisfied that something is going on, and I think all the participants involved have taken note that this committee is shaped, and they are doing their job, and I'm not the one to block them. I'm satisfied, and that's all.
Thank you, Honourable Fielding. Thank you, Jim. Just a small question from you. Are any of the challenges that are being experienced and is progress, so that's it's good to know that, but are any of the challenges being experienced around these issues in any way linked to the delays in terms of the CJS modernization program? Or is that not a relevant factor on how all these processes and the communication happens between the entities? I'm just trying to see what a big picture is, if there might be a broader procedural issue around the delays of the CJS modernization implementation being a factor in this area. Just on my side, just one question for the institution. I see some of the names that wasn't submitted their books last month again. Now, from a management perspective, what are you being ensured? Is there consequences? It's about consequence management. So we want to go and also go forward to appoint this. And this is a question of the memorandum for understanding with the GSA. Is there a deadline that, you know, that the thing will be signed and then put this? Then to GSA, I just want to know in terms of the viability. I think it's good that there's been now interim measures to ensure that we can recover the backlog. But going forward, will there be also action plans from the EA side to ensure that there is a constant monitoring of this environment, just to give assurance of that? And then just the Acting Secretary, I must indicate that I think that the but I think we're not happy with that report in the sense that you're the acting county officer. You must walk the door. As always talks about turning at the top. Now you can't expect the junior official or deputy director to be on the record that it's not submitted. So I think it's really important as the acting county officer that deal with that issue and get it out of the way. It's very important for this committee. We have got assurances that that's what we should be taking. We've got assurances that this coming down is better. But we don't have any assurances today that the secretary or the acting secretary gets, so we need that
started engaging as a same with regards to those particular pending submissions of the matters that has been on process, and in some instances we have sent the letters. But after we have established our vetting unit this additional year, we have requested them to continuously engage in SSA and started with their engagements and the meetings. And there is also an MOU that has been drafted by the two institutions, IT and SSA, and we even gave the deadlines with regards to the letters of finalizing that particular MOU. The last time, last week, or 2 weeks back, that MOU came from SSA and the District of Human Services, just to change it and finalize it, then to decide by myself and SSA DG. But moving forward, we have addressed everything in respect of the shortcomings that we have identified, and this one of the reasons why we have established a vetting unit and capacitated it with 4 or 3 people in the federal component. In respect of Mr. Sissoko, issue there, Mr. Sissoko's clearance expired and he submitted the application last year in 2014, and but before he was confirmed, promoted to Chief Director Investigations and Information Management in the office, there was a screening that was done before the confirmation of the appointment. So my understanding is that he's very tough until he received the outcome of the security screening of the meeting. In respect of the instructions, in respect of the dates, the Ramadhani, the Honorable Ramadhani is 22nd and the 23rd. Honorable members will remember that when we came here on the 27th, on that particular week or the week before, we had our management meeting at the office, and I gave the instruction that all of them, they must submit on the 29th of May. The two first that were still outstanding. Most of them have submitted, I can't remember if it was 8 or 6, who were still outstanding. They submitted and sent them, there was a date to distance to SSA, and they have submitted, it was only the provincial head, the Eastern Cape, and again, we submitted yesterday. And Mr. Engels requested to submit in the 2nd. With regards to Mr. Engels, I know that he's been with the department for some time, and even I was very surprised that he's not yet attended. Only to find that he has submitted Z2 for 4 times in the department and SSA, but there are no records with regards to where are those particular forms. My problem with regards to that is already raised that we myself was we're supposed to have had copies as a department of those particular forms that were submitted previously. To keep them in the personal file of the person so that as and when the forms are displaced or lost, we are able to retrieve the copies and complete the other forms. Issue then with regards to the communication gap between the three institutions. In our case, it will be addressed by the MOU, which is going to be finalized possibly, if not end of this month, but early next month. That's what I'm saying. It's on the final stage with our legal services. The preparations for with regards to those particular submissions and the dates, and that the subsequent submissions after the 27th meeting. We were honest with the portfolio committee in the sense that we gave the deadlines to those who were outstanding in
paper presented to us, and some submitted, but those who didn't submit, they indicated the reasons. So we're keeping on making follow-ups with those suspecting hands. There was a submission yesterday, we can confirm that there was a submission the day before yesterday. So all the SLS members in EIP, they have submitted. Okay, I think I've covered the one of Mr. Engers and other people who were asking me. Thanks very much, Honorable Minister.
Resources moved into addressing that the agent letter may be.
But as far as I'm thinking now, yeah, I will be able to complete the project by end of July. The issue concerning files that date back 2012, 2014, I do not have specific reasons as to why this file was there, but there's a general challenge sometimes with regards to, as I indicated previously, there are many legal subjects to make themselves available for interviews, for polygraphy, which is a serious challenge that most of the time when you are supposed to do polling, we set appointment for interviews. But on that day, on that hour, when we are there, at that day where you are supposed to conduct the interview, or a polygraph, you get the call from the subject in teaching 1, 2, 3. And in that instance, you put the man, not agent, some of them, the JDs are not agent, you put them on the track, you continue and do the vetting of those that are there. And the issue regarding who vets who, I think the issue has not yet been resolved. For now, with the Secretariat, we are attending the request as the revision of top management. But in terms of what the law says, the department that falls under the traditional defenses structures in the SSA, the SSDF, the SSDF, and the SSDF, crime defenses, they have money to do the vetting of those personnel in those departments. And for now, as I've stated, we have agreed and will assist this year. But in terms of other members of the Secretariat, it is an issue that I think belongs to crime defenses. Yes, we might have challenges. It is the same issue with regards to Department of Defense, where the same Secretariat is personnel affected by defense agents. So I think there should be an argument between the SAPS, crime intelligence, and the Secretariat to look at those mental relations to the environment. Because other areas that they are supposed to do are held by crime intelligence. The other question that was asked was the question regarding the availability of the Secretariat. The last time I did indicate that yes, we did receive a request from the Secretariat in December. We then, because the request that we had at that time did not have names as to who must be getting. We then, from December, as you all know, December, January, usually the people are not around. But from that time we received the request, we've been trying to interact with the office of the Secretariat. Up until we managed to get an appointment, I think it was made in May, through personnel to the Honourable Minister of the Action Secretary. But we've been following up the message which we have received and request.
Thank you. Thank you, Scholar. Acting Secretary.
Thank you. With regards to the Action Secretary, the whole establishment, it's only 2 people. And those 2 people were vetted before they were the Secretary. So it wasn't for, and if it wasn't for that, it would have meant that no one was vetted. And then even those people who are vetted, they only have confidentiality status. And because they were offered the Secretary, they need to be at top secret. So we need to be vetted. Then with regard to the discrepancy in the dates, Mr. Ramajakan asked if we just process the region because of the response side of the Policy Committee. So, of course, we're supposed to be response side of the Policy Committee. As soon as I heard that security has reported to the committee, and only 2 of the 4 were submitted, or the 2 of the 4 that were received were correct, I needed to issue the directive. Said that by the 30th of May, people must resubmit. So that doesn't mean that people didn't submit before. We've got recorded documents that show the dates that people submitted. But because they have indicated that the documents wouldn't have
to my credibility presentation starts on the 1st of June. And then the whole list of four that they received on that day. With regards to the communication part, I would also, we can't afford to be divorced from state security because you don't have an internal bridging unit. And we depend on state security to start this inquiry. And even though I have explained that it means it's difficult for us to be the background intelligence, I appreciate state security's position in that regard. And I think it's something that really has to negotiate. But we just have to find a way of working it out. With regards to the availability of secrecy, we have emails that shows our efforts, and as indicated in the last report of committee meeting, because Adam structured our dining, and this is broader than Adam structured dining, it could have acted as a magic and understanding between the two PAs. But from our side, we have emails demonstrating our efforts to secure the points of the state security. And that appointment there was only confirmed for the 11th of May. Then with regards to myself, indeed, that doesn't mean that I don't take the revision process seriously. I just mean other than that are aware that the revision form is really complicated. And in my lifetime, I pulled out that revision form 5 times, but that's irrelevant. When it comes to the issue of, I thought that 5 times in each time, my security clearance would be really completed. Even when I was working with secret services, I filled out the security form, and I was being elected. So it felt like I had no time. And as I indicated that, because the divorce certificates were attached, when we, both me and Mr. Philip Machado, so it was the three people who hadn't submitted their forms. So it was Mr. Machado and I, and we were waiting for homeowners to give us copies of our divorce certificates. And then with me, in addition, it's not just the divorce certificate, it's also the academic certificate. So even though SACWA offered me, provided me with an immediate statement of my academic qualifications, state security needs the actual certificate. So I was waiting on those two things, and I've been assured that I'll get it today. So I'm hoping that I'll get it today. And with Ms. Zimu, who is the third person, as I said, it is no longer on. Or we're not too sure how the establishment is going to be. And so he's indicated that he would prefer that the vision is done by tax as opposed to it being done by us.
Because this is
what has been presented to us. So, Chair, and I'm constrained, really constrained, but I think it's incorrect. It's not honest. The main issue, the question is not being posed, or it's not the issue. So I would respect, ask that to answer his question, because this is a problem. And it's a problem that's really not in between, especially in your department. And you are the one that has to answer this particular question without saying, what is the problem?
Thank you.
I'm Patrick Carver, but what I want to touch on is a political statement must come from this side of the house, because they are politicians in the side. The members, the people who are sitting at the side should give answers that have time frames and specifics. That is what we expect from them.
This meeting was having a great deal in aiding the partners to interface with each other with the diploma of common challenges. Our challenge is, our job is to facilitate that you interact on results and have this conversation with us. We'll continue to support you and work with you. If you could, when asked questions, just respond to the very regular question.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have one question directed to the gentleman from SAA. What is it covered by Honorable Magad? Because my concern also was that one does not seem to be seeing any specific time frame with respect to each of the other things that the unit are actually be able to finish that. So I am particularly concerned about the time frame that was given by the gentleman saying that he hopes to have it finished with the work by the end of July. And I've had such, you know, undertakings before, and only to find that they are actually not met. I just want to help him to actually give us a realistic time frame in terms of which he thinks that this task would actually have been finished. Exactly, I mean, what kind of time do you spend on each case, you know, setting each case, you know, because cases, I suppose, are not the same, and you might need a lot of time to actually deal with just one person. Now, if you have 33 or more, how much time, you know, roughly do you need, etc., to be able to finish, you know, all of this? Because if you say by the end of July, we are going to hold you on that, only to find that when you come back here, you actually need some 2 months more to be able to finish it.
Thank you. I think we've got 3 minutes because you need the venue. You need to take among others committee. So I just want to emphasize like the fact that policy decisions, whether this institution or that institution, is a policy issue. It's not a bureaucratic issue. So I think that's very important. I think it's important that the secretary must be vetted by that security. And another maybe good reasons for that. But that's not maybe an issue we can have right now. But that's a political issue. If you can just maybe get responses, but also a question of timelines. I mean, we as a committee will monitor it over to Mr. Zabi.
Maybe I shouldn't say that it was not my intention to evade the question. I might have forgotten to respond to the question. But the issue regarding, for example, Mr. Dlamini's parent, that was the issue of when he felt that he did not reach, actually, I do not have the specific range of his mind, but I will make sure that all that is supposed to reach the client will be forwarded to the client as soon as possible. On the issue of how long does it take to complete the hearing, I again want to emphasize that the issue of vetting does not depend entirely on the timing that we need. Yes, you can say if we receive everything, documents including the availability of the substance, take into account that I've always raised the issue concerning capacity, that we have more requests from parents than the capacity that can address it. But in terms of committing myself on making sure that this project regarding IT and secretariat will be completed by end of July, I still commit on it because I've taken and put resources aside to be engaged. But as I said, once we are busy doing that, we sometimes receive instructions attend to other projects, and that results in us leaving a project that we're busy with because of the capacity challenges that we have. That you can't be all these projects at the same time. But if everything requires no other request from anywhere, this project will be completed by end of July.
Thank you very much. I think there is additional information that must be submitted to the committee. I want to thank the departments and today. I think we made progress, at least in this term of election. And I want to really call on the officers the necessary attention to it, and ensure that we have a full complement of things that are indeed vetted, and that we have the assurance that those people can deal with that state in currently work. Because it might be challenging for us. And I think for the countries well, if those are not properly there. So it's going to be more basic than we will monitor. Members just in regarding the first, the second three, when we come back, we will ask the second three to also liaise with you in terms of this, just speak up our business in the first time. If it's approved by our chair, then we're right. But we will ask the second three to communicate with you further that you are aware and can take the necessary actions. So remember, when we come back on the first, it's 2 weeks away to time. So we see we plan the visit for the first week, but with the involvement of a number of members of that are going to be to shift that to the second week of the committee week. So the first week, there won't be any committee activities this time when we come back on the first. So we can have a second week. That was the first time that we should be put on that, so we have to have a but as I said, the Secretariat of the Committee will communicate with them. So thank you very much, members, and we will meet again.